the time go? It is Sunday night, February, no, February, wow, that'd be even better. February, oh my gosh, we're getting into spring. No, it's September 14th, 2014, and you're listening to The Road to Recovery with your host here, Dan Chuba, coming to you live from West Chicago, Illinois, in the wonderful state of Illinois. That's right, we're west of Chicago. We're a suburb of Chicago, about 30 miles west from downtown Chicago. It's a town called West Chicago. I think they were stoned or on drugs when they decided to name the town West Chicago. But that's all right. Beside the point, we are coming to you live with The Road to Recovery. I'm your host. We'll be on the air for the next 2 hours. Wow, 2 full hours, Blog Talk Radio. And if you're joining us for the first time, welcome. We thank you for joining us. If you are a repeat listener, we thank you for that, too. We appreciate your comments, your emails, your texts, your voicemails, and we want to remind you that this is a live show. So, yes, we are live, coming to you live. It's an open call-in talk show. If nobody calls in, then I talk. If you call in, guess what? Then we get you to talk, and we talk a little bit about what you'd like to talk about, potentially and hopefully as it relates to being sober, working a program of being free of alcohol, and I do it. let's see. Today being, wait, let me do this again. I always like to do this. Today is September 14th. So that means 19 years and 14 days of continuous sobriety. Ba-dum-bum. And who's counting? Excuse me. I'm counting. Of course, I count all the time because I'm proud of the fact that I've managed to stay sober. It's one day at a time, as it is for each and every one of us. It doesn't matter what might happen tomorrow. I've learned to live in the todays. I don't worry about tomorrows, okay? Tomorrows I project, I hope, I have plans, you know, but I don't get all weirded out, okay? If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't happen, it's not the end of the world. So we're going to be talking about the todays and the tomorrows and maybe even review some of the yesterdays. How's that? But we don't live in them, okay? We review them, but we don't live in them. And we're going to be talking about that, how I work a 12-step program, one of the things that I do to manage to stay sober. And I'm proud of the fact that I'm an alcoholic. Why am I proud of the fact that I'm an alcoholic? Let's first get a little, let's hear for that. I'm an alcoholic in recovery. Okay. There you go. Everybody's clapping. Very good. Okay. The only one that really matters is me, okay? The fact that I'm working a program of recovery. Usually I do the show with my friend Ken, who is not here. I don't know if it's because the Bears are going to be on and he's going to be watching the Bears because they're coming on in about a half hour. So every once in a while we're going to probably lean over to the radio and listen to see what the Bears are doing because they're playing San Francisco. And, hey, you know, I'm excited about the Bears. I mean, it's a hometown team. We would like to see them win, of course. And if you are a San Francisco team or whoever your team is, you know, I hope they fared well. You know, it's fun to be part of something, okay, belong to a group of, you know, other people that maybe support the fact that you want to see your team win. And, you know, that's kind of like what it's like when we're working a program recovery. You know, we're not alone. We're part of a group. You know, again, everybody say, well, you know, back when I drank, you know, didn't you do that in a bar? Well, I did. You know, I did it in a bar. And, you know, I can't say that, you know, I had fun. I'm not going to tell you I didn't have fun. But, you know, I spent a lot of money, and today I don't have to spend all that money on alcohol that I just don't need. I could still have a great time without alcohol, and I've learned to do that. We're going to share some ideas and tips of how it was for me. Maybe if you're a caller, you want to call in. It's a live show, so you can call in any time. Okay, the area code is 323-580-5755. If you'd like to call in and share your thoughts, ideas, whatever. If you want to send an email or a text, okay, try not a text. That won't come on this. But our email is Daniel, D-A-N-I-E-L, at daare.com. And we'll gladly, if you have a question, comment, or something that you'd like to share with us, maybe you don't feel comfortable coming on the air and sharing it, well, that's okay. You know, if whatever really makes you feel comfortable, just do it. If you don't know until you try. Most everyone who has joined us on the air, sharing their experience, strength, and hope, etc., has indicated that they really enjoyed the time they spent on the air, did not feel like it was a big burden, and of course they said they'd like to come again, but committing to doing a show, you're not getting paid, there's no money in this, it's not like I'm getting rich and wealthy. I volunteer the time. It's called 12-step work, 12-step, not 13-stepping, 12-step work. And what 12-step work is, in fact, we were talking about it at a couple of meetings, 12-step work is to carry the message of recovery to the still suffering, okay, and practicing these principles in all of our affairs. So it's a good thing for me to do this because why? Well, will I win an Oscar or an Emmy or any kind of award? Probably not, okay, because most people don't really care. Okay, but for those of us that are in recovery or working to find recovery, you'll care. And hopefully you'll find this as an informative and helpful source where you can get some good information about what it's like to get and stay sober. And that's pretty much the premise of this entire program, is to give you an overview of what it's like for people like me who have found sobriety, who have embraced the fact that I don't want to drink anymore. I mean, I'm done drinking as far as I'm concerned, and hopefully I will not feel the need or the compulsion to go out and drink again. Because why? Well, because nothing good ever came of my drinking. Did I have fun? I had a lot of fun, guys, okay? But, you know, there is a world that we live in, and, you know, I need to be responsible. And when I drank, I found out that I wasn't very responsible. You know, I have three children, okay? I've had other men raise my children. Because why? Because I just didn't have the same priorities back then as I do today. And one of them was not having to be in my kid's life because what? I thought, hey, if I'm working, then they should accept the fact that I'm working because that's how I was taught. Doesn't work that way. Oh, my gosh. Drinking an ice cold Pepsi. And there's a little plug. Do we have a plug for ice cold Pepsi? Let's see. Okay, let's get enough plug. And Pepsi, I love Pepsis. I mean, ice cold, and I don't drink very many anymore. I used to drink them when I quit alcohol. I used to drink quite a bit of Pepsis, but then I found out, again, just like anything, too much of a good thing is no good. And I found out that I'm a type 2 diabetic, so it's not a really good idea to indulge in lots of pop, you know, soda pop. But I'm learning. And today I could slow down and stop myself from doing some of that stuff. But, you know, every once in a while I think it's good to have something. And if that's the worst thing that's going to happen to me is I'm going to die because I had a pop, well, I don't plan to die and I hope I don't die. But you know what? I can't believe that I've lived as long as I have. Lived to the point of being able to see 19 years of life, continuous sobriety, and what? How did I do that? Well, I certainly didn't do it by myself, okay? And you know who I heard from this week, which I was really pleased to hear, was my dear friend Bobby K. Okay, Bob K. was my sponsor when I first got in the program recovery, and he's been a friend ever since. He was my sponsor for at least 12 years, and I had nothing but great things to say about what kind of information and guidance and direction he provided to me. And Bobby now is doing well. He's living in Illinois, southern Illinois, and he's carrying the message down there. And life is good. So, you know, he's got actually, I think, 21 years. He's got 2 years on me. And so he called up and wished me a happy 2-year anniversary, which, you know, I was grateful because he had a big part in getting me to that point. You know, and that's how they do, how we do it. You know, we don't do it alone, and we bring a friend along as part of the journey. And when we do that, what do we find? Well, we find that we could possibly learn a little bit more about ourselves, who we are, and what we are about by what? Continuing to carry a message, you know, with each other, to each other, whatever the case is. So, Bobby K., thank you very much for your everything you've given me to get me to this point. You know, he likes to reflect on a couple of the experiences that I had when I first entered the program. And I got to tell you something. There was a couple of them that were pretty wild and crazy. And, you know, what we do in our minds justify what we do and, you know, to get to where we need to be. And, well, fortunately, even through all that stuff, I made it through, even though I went through some crazy times. So who knows? Maybe we'll talk about some of those crazy times. Maybe we'll just talk about life on a day-to-day basis. My name is Dan Chuba, and I am an alcoholic in recovery. I am not anonymous because I believe that people need to know it's okay to be in recovery. It's, you know, not everybody has to be anonymous. If you need to be anonymous, you be whatever you need to be, okay? But not everybody, not all of us need that anymore because we are grateful, number one, for the gift we've been given, and that is simply that we're still sober, that we're living a program and a life that embraces, you know, not drinking and not doing any kind of, you know, drugs or et cetera. In a world that embraces that at this point, it's amazing. I got to tell you, I get amazed all the time. You know, like part of my topic was, you know, the medical marijuana is coming. And, you know, everybody's saying it's going to be short-lived because soon after we'll follow, in Illinois, that is, there'll be legalized marijuana. And will that happen? I don't know. You know, who would have ever thought you can get stoned legally in Colorado? And yet you can. You can go out and buy drugs. You know, and it's all about the money, guys. All about the money that can be made off of the taxes. You know, and isn't it amazing how we can justify something that 5, 10, 15 years ago, we would have probably said, no, don't do it. Now, we're not here to talk and discuss the controversy of whether or not, you know, it's the right thing. We're going to talk about whether it's the right thing for you or for me. That is, drink, you know, medical marijuana or drinking. You know, what is it about these things that, you know, what is it we're doing to ourselves? Do we even recognize what's going on for us? Those of us that are in recovery have realized what we were doing, and we were trying to escape from the world. I don't know about you, but that was me. I wanted to escape from the world. I didn't like what the world that I lived in. Okay, no. The world that I lived in was kind of challenging and difficult because, well, you know, it kicked me around. Things didn't work out just the way that I wanted to. I thought there was a lot of unfair results going on in the world, and so I got really frustrated. But guess what? Getting frustrated doesn't really matter, does it? Okay? You still have to accept life on life's terms. And I'll tell you what, that's not something I wanted to do at any point in my life, accepting life on life's terms. I had this vision, this Danny Boy vision that I wanted and I expected to have the results and to have the joys, all the things that it relates to. And I just thought I deserve a whole lot in life because I went through a whole lot in life. Okay? I went through a lot of challenges, a lot of frustrations. I had a lot of problems and issues growing up. I grew up in a family of 13 kids. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? I am way over here, and I'm doing multitasking when I know I should be focusing, but, you know, that's what I do. I multitask. You know, I try to do multiple things at one time, and that's not always a good thing. But hopefully you're understanding, and hopefully you can still hear me. And as I work to get my camera ready, there we go, a camera, and I want to say thanks to my friend Marvin for his selling me his refurbished Canon camera. Bing, 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 another ding, ding, ding. I'm doing all these plugs today for all these, you know, these products, Pepsi and Canon. But you know what? They're working. I like them. I like the Canon camera, and it takes incredible shots. Today, you know, I hired a person that operates drones, a drone. And why did I do that? Well, I wanted this drone company. What they do now is I'm a real estate broker, and what they decided to do in this particular company is to come out and take photos from the sky of properties that we have for sale and give a totally different perspective on the property itself, maybe make it more intriguing, exciting, who knows, hopefully it will, and hopefully it'll get the attention of someone that may want to purchase this property, because, you know, that's what we do, is we sell properties. So drones, my gosh, it's kind of neat and exciting in itself. And who would have thunk, again, that I would have lived today to see the day of drones being used and operated on in my field, in my business. And that's what I do, is I sell real estate here in the DuPage County, the western suburbs of Chicago. And, you know, when I'm, you know, and it's amazing because it's my company, and yet I'm a drunk, or at least I was a drunk. I'm a drunk in recovery. That means I haven't had a drink in 19 years. And 14 days, and I'm pretty proud of that. Absolutely, I am proud of that. And, you know, it's not easy to get to this point. In fact, I had a friend that called me up earlier this week, late at night, to start the week, and said, hey, Dan, I need to stay sober. I need to get and stay sober, and I need help. Okay? So we discussed about getting together and starting. Actually, I believe this person needs to do a fourth step. Okay, and we'll talk a little bit about a fourth step, what it is, and why this particular person, I feel, would benefit from a fourth step. And just pretty much, you know, I believe he's had a pretty colorful life, and that some of the things that he did are still, you know, bothering him. And I said to him simply, if you don't do a fourth step, there's a good chance that you'll do a fifth. And a fifth means a fifth of alcohol. I made arrangements to meet with this individual, and guess what? Didn't show up. Didn't call, didn't comment. And again, that's okay if he doesn't want to. I feel a little disappointed simply because I made the time available to him. But, you know, again, you can carry the message. You cannot carry the individual. If they don't want it, if they don't want it bad enough, for whatever reason, call it. I don't care. Embarrassed, frustrated. You can give me any excuse in the world. And I've learned that's what it is. It's an excuse. So, you know, this individual and I were supposed to meet, I think it was Monday or Tuesday, at the club. And here in West Chicago, we have clubs where they hold Alcoholics Anonymous meetings. But it's also for us to do some 12-step work. And unfortunately, my friend never showed up. And I've not heard back from him since, and I hope that he's, you know, doing whatever to get and stay sober. Now, that always brings up a question, you know, how far do we go out of our way to help an individual, okay? And what does that mean? Well, you know, I mean, I did make my time available, and this individual just didn't show up. He didn't even call to say, hey, I'm not coming. Now, I recognize and realize that this person, individual, just by the mere fact that he's got a drinking problem, has a problem, and it is a problem. But, you know, there's also a degree of respect that needs to come, and maybe not the respect of from him to me, but he's going to need to do that if he's going to want my help. But it's from me to myself. Now, I didn't get upset because there was nothing to get upset about. What did I end up doing? I ended up doing some 12-step work in the club. You know, I cleaned the floors. The bathrooms were absolutely horrible, and I got so tired of seeing them. And instead of making a complaint and, you know, complaining about them, I just decided that, well, since I was there at the club, that I would what? Clean the club. I went and cleaned and emptied all the garbage. You know, it's all 12-step work, okay? whether you're cleaning garbage or you're doing whatever you can to help out, you know, that's good. So I was there. I didn't want to waste my time, and I certainly didn't want to, you know, walk around and moan and complain. It's just the way it is. He shows up or he doesn't. If he doesn't show up, not the end of the world, right? Doesn't show up, it is not the end of the world. What it is an opportunity for me to look at something like that and say, well, maybe he's not ready. Maybe he's not ready, and instead of wasting my time on somebody that's not ready, I'll just keep going and doing something that is more practical and purposeful for the time and the energy and the effort that I have available to do that. So, again, I felt pretty good when I got done having helped clean the club, clean the bathroom. I cleaned the bathroom. Yep. And you know what? There's no job that is too below me that I can't do. Okay? Because I am just a human being, and it doesn't mean anything other than the fact that we are all human beings, and you know, somebody's got to do it. So what makes me any less better to do it, or you know, who, you know, I know that there's a person that is in charge of it, but I could, again, I could sit around and complain, or I could, you know, take an action step and do something about it. So I felt a lot better doing something for this, in fact, and I'm grateful for it. So there you have it. Maybe we didn't accomplish what we originally intended and planned to do, but we did get something accomplished after all. So we're going to talk to, we might even have a conversation with ourselves tonight. How's that? Maybe nobody else calls in. I know that I often talk about it with people that, when I first came into the program recovery, there was a lot of people running around in my head talking and, you know, not out loud necessarily to the world, but to me. But since I got sober and I worked the program, well, guess what? The voices have not gone away. No, but I don't listen to them, okay? I don't let them bother me anymore, okay? And I do move on and with my merry, happy, healthy way, just continue to go forward and do the next right thing. So, again, we are the Road to Recovery. I am Dan Chuba, the host. I'm grateful to my friends who made this possible. My friend Denny, you know, who is Denny Weigel Eads she's actually from Warrenville. And Denny, I know that she was working on putting a show together because she just really felt she had something of value to say, and that's good. I hope she did and does, and if she, would like guests, I'd be glad to be a guest on her show and help her out. Just, you know, she helped me get started, and I'm so grateful for that. I know that she was touched when Robin Williams passed away. And I've heard conversation now that Robin was working a program of recovery. But, again, what people don't seem to realize is that when you take away the drink, there's a lot of other issues that we as alcoholics have to face. And some of them, all of them actually involve our mind, our brain, that doesn't necessarily want to stop us. It doesn't want to stop thinking. It wants to work overtime thinking. And, you know, when it does work overtime, oh, my gosh, you know, that's not a good thing. It's not a good place for anybody to be. It's alone in our brains, okay? Too many things going on up there. Not a good place. Okay, so if you've ever found yourself lost in your brain, what do you do? What do you do when what context, I guess? What would you be doing that would get your brain to work overtime, okay? What do you do when your brain does? Now, we're going to talk about a few things tonight, one of them being, we could talk about that. In fact, the cool part of when nobody calls in or nobody shows up, we could talk about whatever we want. And you know what? It's okay. It doesn't really matter. I mean, as long as we're learning something, we're getting something out of it, I always get something out of everything, whether people are calling in or whether they're not, you know, because it's a moment of reflection for me. You know, I talk about it. I reflect with my HP. What's an HP? That's my higher power, whom I choose to call Jesus Christ, whom I believe came to save us from the sins of our fathers and our forefathers, and ourselves, for that matter, because I was pretty much a sinner myself. Okay, but thanks to God and this program of recovery, and I want to say thanks again, as I always do, to my ex-wife, Patty, who played an instrumental role in helping come into my life. And if I thought I was messed up before I met Patty, good God, throw a little bit more alcohol and somebody else that drinks and drugs, and it just goes from bad to wicked. So I, without Patty's help, I don't know that I would have ever found and got sober. Okay, so Patty, thank you. And you know that. You know I thank you, and you know I love you, and I care about you. And, you know, I just know, though, that we are better off not together, off on our own, just simply, you know, I guess, appreciating each other from a distance. How's that? And it works. That works very wonderful for me because, you know, when we were married, we had so many problems that went on in our lives. Oh, my gosh, it was like World War III. When people knew that we were together, it was like people just didn't want us together. And we had to accept something like that. And that was a challenge at the time because it's amazing how stubborn people that are drinking and drugging. We were smoking some pot, too, but mostly drinking. But it's amazing. Excuse me, live show. Live show, hey. Wah, wah. Let's see if we have that. Oh, that wasn't funny. Let's see. That wasn't funny. Get with it. Okay, sound machine. Compliments to my friend Jim, for those of you who know. Jim passed away earlier this year from the results of cancer over a given period of time. And we certainly do wish his family well. They're doing well, actually. Deb is down in Florida now. She is giving back again. She's giving to her sister who's had some medical issues and challenges, not just her sister, but her brother-in-law, too. And she went down to Florida to help them out. Now, man, if that is not like someone I want to be like or love being around her, she's just an incredible person. My friend Deb. Deb, you're the best. Thank you so much. And she is just a delight to be around, by the way, my friend Deb. Absolutely. You know, I don't know. You know, it's hard to explain what, you know, when somebody gives as Debbie gives, and her kids were taught well, too. Emily and Denise and their friends. I mean, they had some great friends. Megan, you're awesome. I got to tell you, it's just been great knowing you. And I got to follow a lot of them on Facebook because that's the only way I'll keep up with these people. They're just incredible, these people who give of themselves unselfishly. Really, just wonderful. So thank you for keeping me involved in your life and watching you grow and take advantage of opportunities to help other people. You are unbelievable. Oh, excuse me. I have to say, please pray for those poor people who are truly losing their lives to ISIS. You know, it's just terrible that they can actually, I saw them actually behead somebody. It wasn't necessarily the one that, you know, not the British person. It's unbelievable what you could see on this internet, the crap and the degradation. But here it is. These guys delight in the fact that they are removing people's heads. It's like, what? Where are you coming from? What is that all about? I mean, I understand there's a God, and God has turned this world over to us and said, you know, take good care of it, you know, whatever. And we are messing it up pretty well. And people like that, it's just very, very sad to think that, you know, no regard for the fact that these people have loved ones that care about them, that will miss them, and to watch them just literally have their heads whacked off. I saw two of them. There's two. It's just terrible. It's a sad thing. You know, and you see stuff like that, And sometimes people use that as an excuse to drink, that they want to erase the memory from your head. You know, we've all been through some pretty bad experiences in our lives. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, we have good memories. Some of us have better memories than others. And when that happens, you know, we want to erase the memory, but you can't necessarily do that. Your memories won't necessarily go away just because you want them to. You know, it's a horrific just to see what they've done. Will I do it again? You know, one minute you see a man alive, and all the while that they're taking this gentleman's head off is this guy's wiggling, okay? He's still alive, and, you know, I don't know. I just I want to pray for them, the people who are dying unnecessarily and needlessly in this experience, but I also want to pray for those people that are creating all the problems in their lives who are killing these people, because they obviously have a bigger problem, you know, and that is that they don't respect life, you know, and it's just sad. They must have had such horrible times growing up that they could take away somebody else's life so casually and carelessly. You know, today, in my sobriety, I could do something about it. When I drank, I was more of part of the problem than I was part of the solution. And you know what? Being part of the problem, nobody wants to admit that we're part of the problem. We have this false belief that we can make a difference when we're drinking, and unfortunately, we can't. It's like, I want to say, and I hate to say this, Charlie, but I think you're a great guy, Charlie, but we know that Charlie, what's his name? Charlie Sheen, you know, has had some issues with alcohol, and yet, even though he's had some terrible issues, he gives the impression that he's, you know, he comes out roses, and he's done okay in some instances, but that doesn't mean that his life is better. It doesn't mean that he's the kind of father that would be, you know, win the Father of the Year award. I drank when I was a father, and the best thing that could have happened was that somebody else came in and stepped in and married my ex-wives and took on the responsibility of raising my children as theirs. Because what? I wasn't around, you know, and so I first want to thank them. I'm going to take a moment to thank those guys for doing just that, for their unselfish stepping in and taking the responsibility that I should have faced as a man, as a human being, and I should have been there as a father, and I wasn't. So today I try to make up for it in other ways. I'm not going to beat myself over the head because I know why I wasn't there. I know that I was caught up in what is called my alcoholism, okay? And today, I can forgive myself. Today, you know, I hope my children forgive me for, you know, the fact that I wasn't there, that somebody else was there to raise them, and, you know, and I think they have. I think my children have accepted, you know, that they got the better deal anyway from these guys that stepped in and took over as parents, because they were did a pretty good job. I hate to admit it, okay, because my pride and ego doesn't want me to admit it, but the truth is, you know, I think my daughters got away really well, at least that I know, as compared to it could have been, you know, I think every child wants their parent to be the parent, you know, to be the one. Now, I want to send a shout-out to my friend Noe Munoz, okay? Now, he has nothing to do with program recovery, et cetera, but what he does have, he's an outstanding father. This guy, we had dinner together yesterday night with his children, his daughters, and I tell you what, they are really, these girls, his daughters, his whole family, it was a delight to be around, and, you know, he's a great father. They went through a divorce. He got remarried, but he is an active person in their lives. I mean, they are blessed with the fact that this guy is there for them, okay? Now, he could have just copped an attitude, probably had every reason in the world, because I remember his, I went to his marriage when he was married to his wife the first time, okay, and then watched as it fell apart, and, you know, and unfortunately it didn't work out, and you know, the challenges that he had, that he went through, etc. And I'm just telling you, it was, through all of this, he still maintained responsibility of being a dad and a parent. So, you know, I could have, should have been that person, but I wasn't, for whatever reason. I'm not going to get into all the reasons, but I wasn't that person. And unfortunately, my daughters were almost absent a father. At least they were absent this father, okay? But the good news is that they had another father. Each of them had they had a couple fathers, I guess. But, you know, they were good to them. The fathers were good to them and raised them, and they respect these guys as their parents. They'll call them dad. They call me, I don't know what they call me, bio dad or something like that. They just know that, you know, they know that I wasn't around. But they're not going to take away from their father, the guys that really showed up. And again, it's always a question, what makes a father? It's not, you know, that you parked it in the oven one day and got your girlfriend, your wife, whatever, pregnant. You know, it is the guy who raised those kids, who took the responsibility on and showed up on a day-to-day basis, you know, helping them understand and navigate through life at an early age. So, okay, if you have any comments about this, that, or anything, the call-in number is area code 323-580-5755. Talk to me. Talk to me live on the air. Talk to me what your questions, concerns. My mother said she wants to be on the air again. She wants to talk about, you know, her life as a woman married to an alcoholic man raising 13 kids. That's right, 13 kids. But I like a little lag time on that. I like to know when my mom's coming. But she's welcome anytime, as is anybody who calls in at any time. If you have something you want to share. Now, the program Recovery isn't just about alcohol. It's about any type of recovery from an addiction. And I learn more every time we do this show. Sometimes I learn, I never realize all the different things that you could recover from if you want to. But they're there, and, you know, you don't have to be caught up and live in a challenging life anymore unless you so, if that's what you want. You can get and keep a degree of recovery. So join me every week as we talk about these items and these things that we recover from on a day-to-day, weekly basis. Sometimes my friend Ken is with me. Hey, Ken, where are you? But he, I guess he just chose not to show up today because, well, he never made this commitment. It was just a gift that he gave of himself and his time to come on the show. So anybody that comes on the show and shares, listen, we're grateful. Because it's great having different perspectives from different people about what it was for them, what was important for them, what it was like, what happened, what we are like now. We've had many friends on the air sharing with us, Mike and Harold and a couple ladies. You know, and it's wonderful when people come and give themselves and their time to help another human being, to carry the message of hope. That, and there is hope. My God, 19 years. I can't, when I sit in reflection thinking 19 years ago, I quit drinking. And how many people lost a lot of money betting that I was going to go back out there? So if they actually collected on those bets, they probably lost a lot of money because I'm sure those people were convinced that I was going to go back out and drink. Now, you know, in fact, one of my friends or acquaintance, I don't know if we call him friend. My friend Joe. I remember when his wife had told me that he had quit drinking, okay? And I bet that he would be drinking in no time because, well, I just knew him and I just assumed that, you know, I knew the guy he was and I thought for sure that he was going to drink. In fact, nasty me, I was so convinced that, you know, I wanted to win this bet that I had going with him that I, you know, probably would have bought the drinks for him just so he would go back out and drink. Unfortunately, he did go back out and drink, and he didn't need my help. But, you know, the good news is that he did find it eventually and has been sober, wow, like 25 years now, 26 years. So good long time. He had a great jump start on me and something that I could learn a lot from. And even though I was part of the reason why he was there drinking at one point. Okay, area code 323-580-5755. If you have a comment, a question, a thought, Al-Anon, talk about Al-Anon. Okay, one of my sponsees, his wife is an active member of Al-Anon, and maybe in the near future, maybe at some point, we'll be able to get them both to come on the air and talk a little bit about what it's like to work a program in Al-Anon. You know, because that's an equally important program that people need to recognize is there for anyone that needs help in recovery. You know, if you have a loved one that is caught up in an addiction, okay, you may benefit from going to an Al-Anon meeting. And what, God say, what is an Al-Anon meeting? Well, Al-Anon meeting is a program that's designed to help the members, the family members, whose loved ones are active alcoholics, okay? And help them do what? Well, cope, deal with, respond intelligently. You know, what can you do? Are you going to get the person that's drinking to stop drinking? Probably not. But you could be a catalyst, somewhat, in their ability to get help, to reach out for help, and that's a good thing. So Don't misunderstand or ever doubt the fact that you can be of service to help other people that are struggling in a program. Okay, or maybe they're struggling without a program. Do you understand what I'm saying? Absolutely, I'm sure you do. Okay, so here we are again on the road to recovery tonight. Again, I'm going to repeat the date. It is September 14th. Now, what did we do? What was the important date this week? Well, the important date this week was remembering 9-1-1. And what was 9-1-1? Well, that's when they flew the towers. They flew jets and planes into the towers and killed many people and brought those towers down in New York City. Okay, these towers that represented capitalism, I believe that's my understanding, was capitalism at its I really even hate to say finest, because I don't know that capitalism really is a fine thing anyway, for that matter. But it certainly did a lot of trading and et cetera over in these towers that were ultimately taken down by a couple of jets flown into them, and the pictures of them and to watch them again. It's just equally horrific as watching somebody become beheaded. To think that this life was snuffed out in all a matter of seconds, that there was such reckless abandoned disregard for the human life, you know? And yet here we are, caught up in our addictions, willing to put some type of, you know, alcohol into our system that could potentially kill us. And yet, we don't think twice about doing it, and why is that? Well, that's a good topic conversation. Maybe someday we'll come up with an understanding of what it is that we do and why we do it. But in the meantime, the fact that we do it is terrible. In fact, you know, today I was listening to the news, and they were talking about how this woman was arrested, and I want to say in Indiana maybe, for driving under the influence. So she called her friend to come and get her, and her friend shows up equally drunk, driving under the influence. So what? She got arrested as well. They both got arrested for driving under the influence because they chose to drive a vehicle after having alcohol. That's just not a good idea. Now, let me tell you, I'm maybe talking myself into this, but I think I'm going to talk myself into the fact that I believe that there should be a zero tolerance for alcohol in the system. in your bloodstream, if you're caught driving with alcohol in your bloodstream, I think I am going to support a whole complete ban on alcohol in our system in order for us to, if we want to drive a car, that you can't have that any alcohol in our blood system. And why is that? I know, you know, I've talked about it with you, the audience, before, and I've talked with other people and friends of mine, and the more I talk about it, the more it really makes sense to me. And that is because most alcoholics, okay, and I'm going to include myself at some point, if I thought that I could drink, then I thought I could drink and drive. And that's the misconception that most of us have, that are at the mercy of alcohol when we're caught up in our addictions. We think we could drive when we're under the influence. Now, if we're told not to drive, no, zero, there's a good chance that we won't drive with alcohol in our breath. But if we're told that having a little is okay, that is like the kiss of death to people like me. And why is that? Well, it's almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy. You take away, you tell me I can't have any alcohol, and I'm not going to have any if, you know, you got me fair and square. But if you say, well, you can have some, but not too much. Well, alcoholics, okay, for an alcoholic, one beer is too much, and 20 isn't enough. We're never satisfied with more. So it makes only sense that if we wanted to really, if they really wanted us to get and stay sober, I think they would say, hey, no alcohol is the best thing. No alcohol would be better than some alcohol, and good luck trying to figure out when and how much is too much for you, okay? I don't know that any alcoholic in their right mind or in their drunken state, once we put alcohol in our brains, even the littlest amount, we're convinced that it's not good for us, because a little is never enough. Do you understand? Never enough. Okay, so here we are, today being September 14th, okay, 2011. We didn't get blown up by the Taliban or anybody on the 11th, which they said was high watch and be careful, and hey, you have to. Today's world, you know what, there's too many knuckleheads running around out there doing knucklehead things. For what reason? You know, what happened to good protest? You know, what happened to the fact that, you know, you just boycotted Twinkies or something instead of, you know, blowing up something because, oh my gosh, you know, you didn't get to have a free or a new clean toilet, roll of toilet tissue. I don't know, something stupid and ridiculous as that. But that's what we're talking about, how stupid and ridiculous, you know, requesting these things can be. So, again, my concept is that hopefully in the future, instead of a, you know, this little amount of alcohol that they don't allow, well, maybe at some point, okay, we will see them stop alcohol consumption altogether when driving. Wouldn't that be a thing? And I think that would be an important step that I think would help everybody. I think it would keep a lot of people off the road that shouldn't be in the road, and maybe save a few lives too. And that's ultimately, if that is what we are truly setting our sights on, is to save the life of people who, you know, keep them off the road, then why wouldn't they embrace the fact of zero alcohol, you know? And again, that's a question that we're going to have to face and ask one of these days. So, all right, you're listening to The Road to Recovery. My name is Dan Chuba. I am an alcoholic in recovery. I'm grateful to be here, grateful to be above ground. Anytime we are above ground, that's a good thing. That means we're alive and we have hope and chances. We want to wish the Bears well today while they're out in San Francisco They're into 20 minutes into the game, and that means we're 10 minutes from 8 o'clock. So we've gone through 50 minutes of the show. I'm grateful that if anybody's listening, or maybe you're listening on a rebroadcast, and you want to hear some of the message that we're carrying today. No guests. Let me write that down. No guests for Danny. But maybe we'll start the hour out with talking to myself. Maybe we'll ask me if you want to come on the air and come online and talk. But that'll be at the 8 o'clock hour. So if you guys want to listen, wait up for something, that might be the best thing. Okay? That'll be at the 8 o'clock hour. We'll try and give it a whirl, see if we can't talk to ourselves, huh? It's always good to talk to ourselves, not really. I remember talking to myself a lot, you know, and that's one of the questions they ask, and that's the amazing thing. They ask you questions like, did you ever talk to yourself when you were, you know, drinking? And, of course, who in their right mind is going to put down yes? I think it's like a stupid and idiot test, too, sometimes, these sobriety tests that they give, or these how bad is it? You know, well, who in their right mind is going to answer anyway the questions correctly? I know what you're supposed to, but I can't say that I did. Why? Because I wanted my driver's license back, and I knew that if I told them the truth, they may be more convinced that I don't need to be driving. And fortunately, though, I did finally get and keep my ability, you know, improve my abilities to not drink, period. And I've come a long way since then. I'm very proud of myself. A lot of people are proud of me. But again, you know, I feel good about the fact that I'm not drinking anymore. I'm not drugging anymore. I've learned that it's not a part of my life that I want, and I'm glad I was able to get beyond it. So if you want to call in, area code 323-580-5755, here on the Road to Recovery tonight, as your host, Dan Chuba, as always. Every Sunday night, we come on the air. We broadcast. Sometimes the message is the same. In fact, it always is the same. And the most important message that I want you to get across is that it's okay to be sober. It's okay that we don't want to drink or drug anymore. Okay? It's okay. You know, there's nothing wrong with somebody that wants to maintain a level and degree of being without alcohol. I mean, that's a good thing. That's a good problem to have. It's not even a problem the problem is when we drank and we drugged and we did that stuff and we thought that was normal and you know, it wasn't. It was insane. And we kept doing it thinking, well, you know, this will work, but, you know, eventually going to stop. And we never stopped. It never got to that point where we were able to stop. So by the grace of God and the fellowship that we found through Alcoholics Anonymous, we got sober. Okay, now this is not, let me do some disclaimers here on the air, by the way. This is not a AA meeting. This is not a AA program, endorsed program, not at all. Alcoholics Anonymous, that's why they call it anonymous, is because they don't believe in sharing that kind of, nothing. They don't want to promote themselves. They don't want, but you know what? I want people to know that there is help out there, okay? Now, it doesn't necessarily have to all be Alcoholics Anonymous. You can find different programs of recovery because this world, our society, is coming to realize that we all need a little bit more than what we've got going for us. And that means they've put together these programs. Number one is called Celebrate Recovery through the Christian Church, and I was part of that. And it was very helpful, and a lot of good things came of it. My friend, I have another friend, Patrick, who is a core leader that actually teaches the program and helps out at his church, and it worked for him. And he's very happy about doing it, and they're grateful to have him, as they should, because he's a wonderful guy. And, you know, he's getting married at some point, but, you know, here he is giving of his time and energy to his church and to the people that he works with. And what for? Well, if you really asked Patrick what would be the purpose, why he was helping people out, I'm sure Patrick would tell you that it's not so much what they get from him doing it. It's what he gets from doing it. It's another constant reminder for him that he needs to get and stay sober. And that's a good thing. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm grateful. I love the fact that I do this show. I love the fact that, you know, I get something out of this program, doing this show, and that's why I do it. It's not just for you guys. You know, this is my meeting. This is one of, you know, I've been doing a lot of meetings lately, by the way, and I'll tell you what, I do more. The more meetings I do, the better I feel. So that's why I do more meetings, because I like feeling good. So if you like feeling good, you may want to do a few meetings yourself, okay, because that's how the program works. Go to meetings. Don't do it alone. Fellowship. Now, I had a squirrel. I had a quarrel with a young guy who I was helping with. I'm not going to say he was my sponsee, but we were acting as sponsee, and he made a rude comment. He called me an asshole, if you want to know the truth. And, you know, that was totally disrespectful. And I'm not going to stand there and let anybody abuse me like that. And I said, I don't appreciate that. He goes, well, you're an asshole. And I'm like, excuse me. Well, he never really got clear about what it was that was up his crawl, but, you know, I did get a general gist of what was happening. And he said that I was the guy that he called when he needed the truth. It said something. When he needed the truth because he wasn't always ready to hear it because it was too honest. But he knew that that's what he needed to hear, so he called me. And I don't know if that was the sole reason why he came up with this, but we were at a meeting, and he goes, and he just flat out said it. And I go, excuse me, where did that come from? And then, you know, it's like he was defending himself about something. I says, well, you know what? I don't appreciate that, you know. And I said that to him. And then I said to him, you know, I'm not going to take this abuse. If that's the way you're going to be, I'm not going to, you know, don't call me, because that's not going to happen where I'm going to sit there and watch somebody call me names. Now, we both ended up apologizing to each other, but I'm not ready to reach out. Now, I don't know if that's a good thing, bad thing, whatever. But, you know, I don't, you know, again, I'm not going to allow anybody to give me that kind of attitude and lip. And for what? For, you know, just uncalled for, unnecessary. And who knows? Maybe he'll grow. Maybe that'll be a turning point in his life. Maybe it won't. Maybe it'll just be another day in paradise. Who knows? But I felt good because I'm not going to allow somebody to disrespect me in that way, shape, and form. Whereas years ago, I might have let them, and I might have even helped them in some ways. Isn't that weird? How do you help somebody degrade yourself, degrade yourself? You know, well, you know, by letting them think that it was fun or funny, which it really wasn't, and it's not, you know, again, that letting them think that they can do that, which they can't, that's not a good thing either. Oh, I already went. So, again, I feel good about the fact that we stopped him in his tracks from doing any more commentaries, and, well, you know, again, can we get over it and get beyond it? Maybe at some point, but I'm just not going to, I guess, maybe, well, see, this is the dilemma that I have. And these are the challenges, and that's why I bring them onto the air. It's not like I'm working a perfect program, guys, okay? It doesn't mean that I know exactly what the heck's going on and that I'm doing the best job. No, I'm just trying to live life out on the air, in the air, so you know that people even like me that work a program in recovery. It's not all peaches and cream. It's not all perfect. Life is not perfect, okay? But I am grateful for the fact that I'm not drinking anymore. I'm just not making as big an ass of myself as I did before. Do you understand? And today, I could just take life on life's terms one day at a time. And that's the best thing I could do. And if it works out, it works out. And if it doesn't, c'est la vie. Just keep on going. Just try to do the best job I can do every day. And some days it works, some days it doesn't work. So, again, that's the premise of the show, actually, is to let you know that I still struggle. I'm not perfect. I don't have a perfect life. I have challenges. People try to disrespect me. Why? Well, my theory is that, you know, some people don't get the opportunity to, I don't know, maybe they're the brunt of every comic joke that came by, and it's not fun being that brunt, you know, being the joke, is it? Not at all. And so with that in mind, you know, when people make fun of them, you know, it hurts. And so when somebody comes along where they are tolerable and tolerant of you and your, you know, pushing and shoving a little bit back, which you wouldn't do to just anybody, well, people take advantage of it. They're like, oh, well, now they're the big dog. Now they can, you know, rough people up and you know, force them to enjoy or accept when something that they wouldn't want to enjoy or accept themselves. And does that make sense to you? Do you get what I'm talking about? I'm talking about sometimes people just, you know, they're so used to being picked on that when they have the opportunity that somebody doesn't give them crap back, well, they think that they have the right to push a little bit further, and that's not correct. That is not what it's about. Okay? I just don't feel the need to constantly monitor somebody, and I think that as a human being and as an adult, people, especially the ones that got roughed up, should know better. And maybe they shouldn't do the same in return. So I'm, and part of me is, you know, surprised that they would. The other part of me understands it and accepts it. But I have to learn to draw the line, too, and tell people to stop. Okay, so we're at the 8 o'clock hour. I don't know how the Bears are doing. Let's listen real quick to a Bears update. Okay. It's just a quick moment. We're not rebroadcasting anything here. I just want to get a date. Okay. Well, for fear of lawsuits saying that I'm rebroadcasting the Bears game, I'm not. I'm just trying to find the game and what the score is. Anybody want to call in with the score, that would be great. All right, code 323-580-5755. Maybe you want to talk about your team, how they did? Did they win? I got to tell you, today, I know it was a beautiful day outside, but today I feel really good because I dumped a lot of garbage out of my office. My area where I work out of still looks like a mess, but it is really, it's like half of the crap and paperwork that was there before I started doing this today. So how about that? You know, every once in a while, you know, and again, this program teaches, I learned so much from this program, you know, purging myself of just garbage and trash. You know, my sump pump went out, and my staff, I have to admit, I was very grateful that my assistant, Julie, and her husband, Carl, were able to go out and rescue my basement, okay, because the sump pump went out, was jammed up, and wasn't pumping the water out of my basement, and it was just flooding. My basement has, you know, it just constantly gets wet, my basement. It's unbelievable. You'd be surprised at how much water comes into my basement, even when it's not raining, okay? But that's just the way it is. So, let's see here. So, I'm grateful. Thank you for taking care of that for me and getting rid of the water I didn't want to deal with. So in the meantime, I cleaned my office up, okay? Got rid of a bunch of things in my office, and I'm feeling really good about it. So we're going to read the thought for the day going into the second hour of The Road to Recovery. I'm your host, Dan Chuva, coming to you live, okay, from Blog Talk Radio, a Link local network broadcast. We broadcast every Sunday from 7 to 9 p.m., and what we do is we talk about just my life, your life, anybody's life, and what it's like to not drink or drug on a day-to-day basis anymore. Okay? Am I grateful? Absolutely. My life has turned around 100%. And then some. I never, never thought I'd be alive to this day, and yet here I am, and I'm broadcasting. Now, I grew up in a family of 13. Yeah, I want to give credit to my brothers and sisters. We all survived our father. I've learned to finally forgive my father. It took only like 17 years for me to do that. And that's because I was filled with anger and resentment. And, and I'll tell you what, what's amazing is that, whoever wrote the Our Father, I can't remember who wrote the Our Father, but boy, is that an incredible prayer, because it really says something, forgive us our trespasses. I always remember this part, as we forgive those who trespass against us. What is that saying? It's saying that I want God to forgive me the sins that I did, that means I have to be prepared and ready to do the same thing, is to forgive all those people that transgressed me and did things wrong against me, and forgive them, because I want to be forgiven. I'm learning that. I'm still learning it. It's I should be able to get over it by now, but it's a bad excuse, but I'm going to use it. I need to get over it, okay? So I'm working on it, guys. Maybe, who knows, maybe you have a thought, an idea, comment of some sort. Again, I always value comments, okay? Whether I agree with them or I don't agree with them, it doesn't matter. It's your opinion, and you are entitled to your opinion. That's the beautiful thing about facts, about feelings. Feelings, I train my staff here in real estate to express feelings and more feelings and less facts, because, people embellish a bit. I'm no different from anybody else, and some days we just get caught up in what we think is the right thing, and so we embellish a little bit more than we probably should, and embellish means, we stretch the truth a little bit more than really true in nature and all that other stuff. And, it's a good thing that we don't. But when we're feelings, you're entitled to. You're allowed to speak your feelings freely and loudly, and they're yours, and nobody can challenge them because they're yours. So never stop expressing your feelings. Don't try to be a know-it-all. That's the only thing. Don't try to be a know-it-all. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. But lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen. Okay? I mean, it's that simple, guys. Amen. Okay, so, you had a moment that we had a chance to share that prayer. Love that prayer. Really, whoever created that prayer did an incredible job. And thank you, because it's just a constant reminder of, we want forgiveness, yet we must be willing to forgive, okay? And I'm still working at that, guys. I want to cop an attitude. I want to be pissed off. I don't know why. I want people to pay for being an asshole to me, okay? Well, maybe I'm the one that should look at what I'm doing, and maybe I should think about what price and penalty I must pay for my actions. So who knows? That's just a thought, folks. Again, being sober, I get to reflect a lot of healthier thoughts going on in my head than the unhealthy ones. Okay, back to the thought for the day, the 24-hour book, Thought for the Day. September 14th, AA, Thought for the Day from the 24-hour day book written in Hazelden. How does AA grow? Some of us sell AA as we go about, little clusters of twos and threes and fives keep springing up in different communities throughout through contact with large centers. Those of us who travel drop in other groups as often as we can. This practice enables us to lend a hand to new groups, which is springing up all over the land. New groups are being started each month. AA is ever spreading outside the United States, and it's slowly becoming worldwide. Thus we grow. Am I doing all I can to spread AA wherever I go? So there you go. It's in the 24-hour day book. The need that we have to spread AA throughout the land. Because without it spreading, people that need this program will never get it. Okay? And that's what we want. We want people to know it's not my program. It's not some secret program. It's even though that they do this anonymity stuff, it doesn't mean that you don't share it and let somebody else know that there's this great program that you can get so much great help from if you want it. It's simple. It's a simple program. It's for complicated people. Simple program for complicated people. And who am I talking about? Of course, you and me. We're both complicated. Yes, why? Well, because that's just our nature. We don't mean to be, but we are. We're complicated. We just want what we want, when we want it, as we want it, how we want it. Oh, you know, I went through a lifetime to get to where I'm at today. You know, and I don't mean in my business, professional life. I'm talking about all the problems that I went through to get and stay sober, that I got drunk, that I used to try to escape from the world. I hated myself, pretty much hated everybody in the world, too, for that matter. Okay, meditation for the day. Lord, we believe. Help thou our unbelievest. This cry of the human heart is an expression of human frailty. It signifies the soul's sincere desire for progress. As a person feels the existence of God and his power, that person believes in him more and more. At the same time, a person is more conscious of his falling short of absolute trust in God. The soul's progress is an increasing belief than a cry, more an increasing belief than a cry for more faith. A plan to conquer all unbelief, all lack of trust. We can believe that cry is heard by God and that prayer is answered in due time. And so our faith grows little by little, day by day. I pray that with more power in my life will come new faith, more faith. I pray that I may come to trust God more each day. And I'm going to tell you, folks, I am going to tell you my personal witness to you. And that's the truth, man. The more I trust in God, the more I allow him to be a part of my life and to, you know, actively, and I'm talking about an active in my life, the better my life gets. Absolutely. You know, I don't have any clear understanding of what God's plans are for me in my life. And maybe it's a good thing I don't know. Maybe I'm not going to be around a while. Who knows? But I got to tell you, the time that I am around, I'm grateful for. I'm happy. And if I was to go tomorrow, no regrets. You know, you always like think you'd like to hang in a little bit longer. But you know what? No regrets, because I'm definitely on borrowed time. You know, I'm definitely grateful that I've had this gift of 19 years on this world. And that only came because God was giving me the strength and the people in my life to get and stay sober. And it works. I'm there. It works. I'm grateful. Amen. And there we go. Let's see. What's the Bears doing? I got to hear this, folks. I'm sorry. What is... Let's see this play. One. What? Not good. Okay, I know. No quiet time. I'm sorry. I was listening. Just trying to hear what the Bears' score is. What is the score? Hello? Can you tell me what the score is? Uh-oh. Third and six. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I don't want to do a play-by-play because, again, I don't want to get accused of I want to hear this score. What's the score? Who's out there? Anybody listening? Anybody care? Anybody care? I want to hear this score. Hold on. First down, Bears. What's the score? I know. No air, dead air. Sorry, folks. Just want to hear. Okay, so I'm really sorry, folks. I'm so obsessed with trying to hear what the score for the game is that I'm not paying attention. And you know, you guys are giving me your time, and I appreciate that. And I shouldn't be, I should be just grateful. But you know, that's what I do. I'm an alcoholic. Okay, I know it's not much of an excuse. Okay. Okay. So what? Third down and short. Come on, Bears. Right? Bear down, Chicago Bears. Okay. You don't want to hear that, do you? That's pretty wicked. My singing. Oh, my gosh. They trail by 10. I heard the score. Oh, okay, 10-0. Ah, it's only 10-0. Okay, back to the show. All right, we'll turn the sound down a little bit back. Okay, folks, I know that dead air that you were listening to was the Road to Recovery. I know we weren't doing very much, but we're going to go back to, and we're going to read the reflections. We just read the thought for the day. Now we're going to read reflection for September 14th, see how it applies. Okay, peace of mind. Do we lay... Oh, man, I got to get glasses here. Hold on. I've got to get some glasses. I'm going to get a magnifying glass. My eyes are not working today. Oh, there it goes. Okay. All right, here we go. Do we lay the matter before our sponsor or spiritual advisor, earnestly asking God's help and guidance, meanwhile resolving to do the right thing when it becomes clear, cost what it may? 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, page 86 and 87. My belief in a higher power is an essential part of my work in step 9, forgiveness, timing, and right motives are the other ingredients. My willingness to do the step is a growing experience that opens the door for new and honest relationships with the people I have harmed. My responsible action brings me closer to the spiritual principles of this program, love and service, peace of mind, serenity, and a stronger faith are sure to follow. I don't know that I got a lot of that. Let's see. What's step 9? Step 9 is... What Oh, by the way, we want to say a shout-out to Arna again for joining us. That was wonderful. She came on the show, and okay, here's step 9. May direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Okay, the question becomes, when would it become injurious to other people to make amends to them? Well, you know, maybe what you did was had an affair with them. Okay, maybe you owe their spouse an apology for, you know, having an affair with their wives or husbands, whatever. And, you know, that may not be a good thing to do, is to go ahead and apologize to them, because maybe because of the program that they're getting back their lives together, and then to come back and to put them back into a state of shock unnecessarily, it really isn't a good thing. So there's, you know, you got to think these things through, folks, of what is the right thing and right time and right place and right energy to do any of these things, all of these things, and, you know, and that's it. And maybe that's what you got to do, is find the right time, right energy, right place, all that stuff, you know, and that's all. Okay, well, here we are, Road to Recovery. I know we're struggling along because it's a Bears night, and it's kind of hard. You know, I'm going to tell you, it's not an easy to have a show with when you're doing this all by yourself. Okay, it isn't. I'm be the first one to admit it. If I said it wasn't hard, it is a challenge. That's why I'm grateful when I have guests, and I'd like to have more guests. But you know, the problem is that sometimes they don't want to show up for whatever reason. Maybe they realize, oops, that the Bears are on. They didn't realize that last minute, or you know, or they just don't feel like doing it. How about that? And there's nothing I could do about that because I'm powerless over people, places, and things. And, you know, people don't want to show up. They don't have to. There's no commitment here. There's no, you know, consequence that comes along with volunteering to do the show. And so, you know, I certainly don't want to, you know, I'm grateful when anybody decides to give of their time, energy to come on the show and share their personal experience, strength, and hope. I wish they had the same commitment level, perhaps, as I do. But then again, I'm the one that agreed to do this show, okay? But if they do tell me that they're going to do it, they should show up, don't you think? Yeah, I think so. So I understand when they don't want to. Okay, and when things come up, I always remembered, always the, you know, because I meet some of the people in the at the club, at the AA club, Anona West Club. That's in West Chicago, and you know, people go to get and stay sober. You know, they get what they get, and always grateful that anybody wants to stop. You know, I had a lot of fun. It was great hearing Harold came on, and Mike. Mike actually gave the lead again Saturday night, and I was all planning to go watch Mike talk and give the lead. And again, things come up. They come up for me, too. I didn't have a commitment to do it, to go see him, but I was planning to go. And I like listening to Mike speak. Excuse me. And my friends, though, called me up and invited me out to dinner, which was a real treat. That was my friend, Noe, and his kids and his wife, It was just a lot of fun. It was. I was grateful that I was invited and asked to be part of this family. I always felt that he was kind of my Mexican family. He's my Mexican brother. I always laugh, talk about it. He's my brother from a different mother, just like Brian is, my friend Brian. He's a good guy. And Brian's a very responsible, respectful man, has a great wife, takes good care of her. He's a great father. You know, those are the kind of people you just can't help but to want to help. You want to go out of your way for it. You want to see that they're doing well. You know, the ones that make their commitments and then keep them, you know, to their families. And, you know, far be it for me to be in the way to, you know, and how many times in my life have I been an obstruction in somebody else's life or in their happiness? I don't want to be that person anymore. I want to be a good guy. You know, I would like the opportunity for God to put somebody special into my life. And you know, who doesn't want somebody special? I love it on Facebook when I'm watching all these people that connect. And I'm so happy for them. you know, sometimes I'm surprised that they can make such a quick decision. But then again, you know, maybe they just have more on the ball going for them than I do. But, you know, again, when the time comes, I'm sure that God's going to put somebody really special in my life. He's blessed me with so many good people and over these years. And, well, maybe that time will come sooner than later. If not, that's okay. I'm grateful to have you, the listening audience here, to be here for me, right? But I have an idea and an opportunity every Sunday night to carry the message. You know, DUIs, legalizing dope, marijuana, what is that all about? What's going to happen? Okay, it's coming to Illinois. I've seen towns that wanted abstinence from alcohol, okay? They didn't want any type of alcohol in their town, yet with this medical marijuana coming on the scene, unbelievable how quickly this town has responded, Wheaton, Illinois, how quickly they have responded to applications for people wanting to grow or harvest or sell medical marijuana because of the money that it can potentially bring. Isn't that what, you know, like a drug dealer does? Is they sell drugs because, you know, they get caught up in the allure of the money, okay? So, amen. You know, everybody can be affected by this need for greed. Greed for need. Need for greed. It could all be. You can, I can, everybody can. It's just, you know, when it comes, involves money, we need money. Some people need it more. Some programs need it. If it's being used for good things, I guess fine. And if it's not, well, shame on whoever. Because, you know, there is a point and a purpose that it should be, you know, money should be appropriately dispensed. So what is, oh, this is the 12 steps and the 12 traditions. What I was, oh, I know what I was going to do. We're going to talk to myself for a few minutes, aren't we? Yes, that was the guess. You know, I'm going to try to show you what it was like when I used to, you know, when I drank. Okay, and let's try that. Let's see if we can get it. Oh, wrong one. I'm calling in the wrong number. Hold on. You're already in there. So let's see. 323-580-5755. There we go. That's the one I want. Okay. And let's see if we're going to get on.
Blog Talk Radio.
Okay.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. If you desire to speak to the host, please press 1 and then...
There we go. Oh, call's been lost. Hey, it's not easy calling me. Let's try it again. Let's try that one more time. See? Maybe you're having trouble getting in on the show. See, I'm trying to call it myself, and what happened? I just showed something. Somebody called in. All right. Let's try this again.
Radio.
All right.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio.
All right.
You are now in the
All right, here we are. So, let's talk to ourselves.
Talk to ourselves.
All right, hello?
Hello?
Okay.
Okay.
Are you hearing
me? Hearing me?
All right, that's what
it's like talking
to
myself.
I say something
that it repeats back.
Doesn't it?
Over and over again.
Hey, I kind of
like
this.
I like it when I can control what's being said in my head, right?
Not when it was going on inside without any real control.
It was just like,
repeat. Okay?
But now, thanks to modern technology and the grace of God, the fellowship of this program, hey,
I can have a happy, safe conversation with myself.
Not worry about it so much.
Hey!
What are you thinking about that?
Hey, Dan.
Give me some of your
strength and hope, man. Don't keep repeating what I'm saying. Give me your own individual feeling, vibe. You can do it, right? Got any thoughts? Anything you want to share? Huh?
Come on.
We're on the air.
Talk to me.
All right.
So when I was out there talking to myself.
And I had these ideas.
What kind of talk do you have with yourself?
Okay, like you're repeating after me.
How about some original thought, man, huh?
Okay.
Well, this is the segment I call talking to myself, right?
This is what I did, you know. So maybe Robin had this little moment of experience, talked to himself a little bit.
Who knows? For some of us, maybe we have that. I don't know if you ever talk to yourself. You ever find yourself in a conversation with yourself?
And what did you come up with? Did you have a good conversation?
Did you have a bad one? Did you feel good?
What?
Come on, talk to me.
Give it to me, man. I want to hear what you have to say about this. That's right.
Because it could be very important to all of us.
Not really. It's just me talking to myself, right? Okay, but what about it? I got it. I really love the echo. I'd have fun. Maybe I'd be playing a little bit more than I would, you know. No, because then if I would have gotten drunk or whatever, then I would have said, hey, this would probably be more fun drunk.
Oh, stop repeating me.
Come on, have an original thought of yourself. Man, we're on the air now. We're broadcasting the road to recovery. You're listening to Dan Chuba, your host, and his, what would you say, alter ego? No, not very egotistical. Okay, so who are we talking with? Well, we're talking with me. Okay.
Me, myself, and I.
On the road to recovery.
Hey, don't tell the whole world. I don't want to hear the whole world. Tell the world my problems. Oh my gosh. You know what, recovery doesn't really matter.
Because you may think so, but that's me, Dan. Not the same problem. Okay, now did we confuse the audience enough?
Okay, let's remind the audience itself.
They want to call in, I can hang up anytime I want.
Okay? And I will, in fact, in a few moments, but not before I get done talking.
But if they want to interfere, the number is 323-580-5755. I'm glad. Okay. What is this? Oh, Dino. Hello. Are you out there? Central Standard Time, Chicago. We're glad to be out there listening to all of us. Me, myself, and I. I'm here today with myself as the special guest. Nobody else is here. But thanks. I'm glad that I showed up, right?
What would have happened if I didn't show up? Then I wouldn't have anybody to talk to. I would just end up talking to myself over and over. I'm going around the circle. Okay. All right. So thank you. I have more than one opinion. And so did we say anything interesting and helpful?
Okay, well, if not, we apologize. At least we have that part of it done, where we know that if we didn't do a good job, we apologize. Maybe forgive us. Maybe you'll see, you know. Well, it's just not easy being me. Let's see. How are you?
Okay. So enough for me on the air right now. Again,
this is a special
segment
that I
bring
every once in a while.
So I talk to myself.
So even when I was here at 10, I talked
to myself.
I'm going to say thanks for
calling
in, yourself,
and I'm
going to
hang up.
Okay? There you go.
Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.
Goodbye. It even said goodbye automatically. So how nice. So I'm back on the air. You are listening to The Road to Recovery with your host, Dan Shuba, coming to you live. And see, I don't even need drugs or alcohol to kind of be wild and wacky. Okay, that's a cool thing, you know. Before, I used to say, well, I need that to in order to be funny because I wanted people to think I was funny. I watched a movie. It was called The Amazing Burt Wonderstone. And it was pretty cool because I liked the actors in it. But not only that, but, it had kind of a little message in it, and I always like when there's little messages in the videos that I watch. And so it was about where he became a magician because, you know, when he was younger, kids used to pick on him, and he wanted people to like and to love him. So what he did was became a magician, and he realized that becoming a magician, well, everybody seemed to like him. And he had all kinds of friends and family and people liked him until they got to know him. Then they realized what a butthole he was, and then, you know, he became a good person after that, which I don't want to give away the show, but it was a great movie, even if. In fact, my favorite movie this last week was Now You See Me. Now, that one and then The Amazing Burt were both very good movies to watch. So that was my video review this week. Actually, I'll give you one more. It was Reacher. What was his name? Pat Reese? No, not Pat Reacher. Meet. It was with Tom Cruise. Good movie. Joe or John Reacher. It was something like that. But it was a great movie, and I enjoyed it thoroughly. So another movie that you guys might want to watch if you get some free time on your hands, and that's a good thing. So this has been video talk with your host, Dan Shuba, coming to you live on Blog Talk Radio. It's a little extra thing that we've started doing just tonight for our listeners. If you want to review some of the movies that I saw, and you can tell me whether you liked them or not, it doesn't really matter because, if I like them, that's all that matters to me. And I know that's rather selfish and arrogant, but, all right. Well, if you have a thought, an idea, a suggestion, and you want to share it, okay, I'll listen to it. Okay, come on, hit me with your best shot. Get me with something here, and I'll be glad to listen to your comments and discount them as quickly as you make them. That's supposed to be funny. Okay, so here we are, The Road to Recovery. What was my week like? Oh, and if, again, what's with these people driving drunk? Guys, we have to learn that if you see somebody driving under the influence of alcohol, take the keys away. Call the police, okay? You may be saving their lives or even your own, for that matter, or maybe your loved ones. How many shows have we watched and seen and where somebody thought they were, okay, and then they got into a vehicle and drove and ultimately killed somebody because they were under the influence of alcohol. So, again, I'm going to take a few moments here to remind people, again, that if you know somebody that's going to drive and drink or drink and drive, hey, take away their keys. Hey, don't let them drive that vehicle. That vehicle that weighs thousands of pounds. Uh-oh, wait, what happened? We're going to have to hear this. Uh-oh, somebody caught something. I think there was a pickoff. So way to go, Bears. Okay, we're in the Bears. We're kind of watching, listening to Bears in the background here. I know. Is that a good thing? Oh, you have a thought on that? Okay, well, was that your complaint? Oh, you wanted to say it was okay. Hey, that was very rude. Get out of here. Okay, that's better. Oh, not before you let some gas go. Oh, but you thought that was funny, huh? Well, there's consequences with all your actions, you know. Yep, consequences. Hey, we should sign off with that, huh? That would be cool. And that is, we'll save that. Now, that is such a pig, a male chauvinist pig. I mean, you know, I'll tell you what, we all have to learn some etiquette in this world, I got to admit. You know, I think that we could do an entire study on what men and women understand about each other or don't understand about each other. You know, one of the relationships and getting them, having them, making them is a challenge in everybody's life. It is not an easy thing to do, is to understand and to work a relationship. But when you've got one working, it's a good thing. And congrats to all of you who have the good thing going for you in a relationship, because, hey, that's just a good thing that you have that relationship in the first place, okay? And hang on to it, value it, cherish it, work it, work on it, put your energy for it, especially if it's a significant other, and value it. Yeah, value it. It's so easy to walk away from relationships today. They're a new guy's on the air. I'm listening to him talking about how he has a divorce motel. So you come in and married, and then you could leave divorced by Monday. You know, put some effort into these things. You know, it's not easy. I know. And listen, this is the pot calling the kettle black for sure. But see, you know, in all fairness, I didn't understand what relationships were. Okay, I didn't. Okay, I only learned what I learned, but that didn't mean I sat through the right and full program, you know, of classes and stuff. You know, while I saw my folks and the relationship that they had, I didn't get to see all the nitty-gritty that brought them together, that kept them together, and, you know, which my mom, and she should be very proud, you know, she stayed married to my father for what, 46 years, a long time. I know that there was a point where we would have been happy if he would have just got lost, but because he was a mean sucker at times. But you know what, you got to give it to her that she kept in there. It was her marriage and her life and her belief. And again, isn't it terrible that I gain this wisdom at this point and juncture in my life? I like to think I've got another 30 years to go, 85, 87. Who knows? Maybe I'll live to 100. Maybe God's going to give me one of those lives, and I'm going to stick around the 100. Oh, mind. I hope not. Well, not really. I mean, if I have a good, productive life, who wouldn't want to? I would. That would be cool, you know, if we're doing a productive life. Now, if I'm just becoming a slug on the wall, then that's not a good thing, and I don't know that I want to be around that long. But you never know what plans that God has for me and everybody else. But the point being is that, you know, I still have at least 30 years that I could probably count on to be around, and if I have 30 years, holy cow, what happens then, you know? 30 years. I don't know. That's pretty amazing to me. 30 years. 30 years. 30 years. It's 30 years to be a lover. Just sit on the back, Jack. Make a new plan, Stan. Okay. I don't think we want to just burst into song like that. That's probably not a good idea. Okay, we're in the last 15 minutes of the show. Oh my gosh! You believe that? We got 15 minutes. Before the show's over, we've got through an hour and 45 minutes of babbling, you know. But again, why are we doing this? It's like meetings sometimes. Sometimes nobody shows up for a meeting. But does that mean the meeting should not happen? Of course not. You should always have a meeting. If one person shows up, that's important. And who's that one person that made this meeting important today? Well, guess what? It was probably me. I probably needed to come to this meeting more than anybody else. And for that, I am grateful, because I recognize stuff like that today. today I'm not going to beat myself up because it wasn't what I envisioned. You know, it's like my friend Ken. Ken would like people to call every time and engage in conversation or debate or challenges or whatever. I mean, who wouldn't? You know, but it's not always going to happen that way. Why? Well, because not everybody's going to listen to this show all the time at the same time. And why is that? Well, because it's not your disease, it's mine, right? So most people are going to just beg out and say, well, because I don't have the disease you do. You know, and every show gets a little old after a while. But recovery is never old for me, and I'm grateful that I have the opportunity of recovery. So in the last 10 minutes, if you want to call in, area code 323-580-5755. Join me as we wind down the show for tonight, September 14th, 2014. What is this world going to be like? Are we really going to have a majorly cold winter? Who cares? We are powerless over those things, are we not? I've learned that. I've accepted it. So what am I going to do? I'm certainly not going to moan and complain about it because there's nothing at all that I could do about it, is there? But I am grateful for the opportunity of being alive to maybe see it because there was a time that, geez, I didn't even want to be alive. There was a time where I would have thought it's easier, the easier, softer way would have been to kill myself. Right, yes, to die. And I'm grateful that I never bought into that. I'm grateful that God gave me opportunities and people in it to keep me from doing something that selfish and self-centered. Okay? And that's what suicide really is. It's selfishness, it's self-centeredness. It's not a healthy thing. Right? It isn't. It's what it is. Well, let's see here. Loading. Okay, I don't know, a lot of good things are happening on the radio with the Bears. The Bears, good going. Hey, the Bears, hey, what's happening with the Bears? Are you a Bears fan or what? Hey, okay, again, comedy is not necessarily my forte. But you know what, we could all be funny at some point. So maybe that day will come when I'm going to be funny. And if not, well, in the meantime, excuse me, which worked very well for Steve Martin, so why wouldn't it work for me? You know, I mean, I have a right to, don't I, capitulate? I don't even know what that word means. Don't I have a right to steal it away from the man? No, he's alive. Can't do that. That's Steve Martin. That was, what was his name, Robin Williams that's left us. And God, please be with Robin. Please be with all the people that struggle in life and think suicide is an answer. Because it really isn't an answer. They may get a chance to meet you faster, and I don't know if that's the way you want to meet people. I got the impression it wasn't. But you know what? Give me the strength, the courage to keep going forward in life, especially when we think that there's no life worth living, because every life is worth living. We don't know how many eyes, pair of eyes, whether it's our kids, whether it's somebody else's kids, whether it's somebody else. Maybe it's ISIS. And maybe ISIS needs to see how we deal with life, that we're really not the self-centered, arrogant people that they thought maybe that's the reason why they're battling us. I'm not saying it's – I'm definitely saying anything that they do to kill people is wrong. That's not even an if, buts, ends, or maybe. And why would people want to go over there and, you know, again, this being not an AA show – we talk about some things, but I don't really want to get into things that are topics of controversy. And I got to believe that this is a controversial topic, period, of, you know, people, you know, I don't know, joining the Taliban. Who in their right mind would join somebody like that? I mean, again, I don't have a problem with any other religions because, you know, who knows? That's between you and your God, me and my God, and, you know, we'll have to answer for whatever we do to that higher power. But I don't know that it's right to kill other people in the name of God. See, maybe to defend yourself is a possibility. But to go ahead and perpetrate a crime under the name saying that God wants you to do that, I don't know that, that's the right thing, okay? I mean, it's not like I've got a, you know, not sure about it. I'm sure it's not the right thing, okay? Let's be clear about that. That is not the right, I'm sure that God does not want that to happen. No God would want his creative beings that he created us to do good, to do something of a purpose on this earth, on his behalf. I'm sure he wouldn't want us to be killing people just because we didn't like the way they treated, you know, us. Maybe it's like a spoiled kid, you know, a spoiled child. You didn't, you know, maybe what the Taliban needs more than anything is a spanking. You know, maybe that's what they should have. They missed out on that as a child. Now, I don't believe in beating children like we heard, you know, Adrian Peters. That's not necessarily good either. Okay, there's got to be a happy medium where you can chastise your children without going to jail. But, you know, I don't know that any type of violence that inflicts wounds or injury on a child is appropriate. It just, I think that we're finding out more and more people that it's not. It's not an accepted, it's not appropriate. Nobody wants to hear it, see it. Don't do it, okay? It's that simple. Don't impact, you know, don't hit, you know, that's just like the most wrong thing you can do is hit a kid. What did the kid do to you? You know, what is it about that you got to beat some kid for no reason, eh? Okay, don't do that, all right? Just simply don't do that, all right? So if we got that all clear, Adrian, you're going to have to probably get spanked, you know, and that's too bad because you shouldn't be doing that stuff to your kid, right? So I'm just telling you, don't do that kind of stuff, people. It's not the right thing. Okay, last 10 minutes, we got 7 minutes. Wow. I didn't really have much to say today. I was doing some cleaning up of the house, but it's good to get rid of baggage, you know, cleaning up baggage, getting rid of baggage. You know, I get a lot of paperwork, and that paperwork bogs me down. And I want God to give me the strength to face my clients and to you know, accept that sometimes they're in a state of mind, which, you know, is tough. It's a tough world. People are struggling out there, God. Be with them. Help them out, please, and, you know, and help me to help them, be of some help to them. I don't mean to be a burden. I don't mean to be a challenge. We need to, you know, talk and get things done and so on and so forth, and you know, that's the right thing to do, and hopefully we can get it done. Let's see. Can't believe. So, all right, in the last waning moments of this show, all right, we want to say thanks to everybody who listened. We hope that, you know, this week is a good week for you, and if it isn't, do something different. Make it better. Don't just sit there and say, oh, my gosh, it's not going to happen. I'm going to be meeting with a client of mine. Oh, let's see. Wait, hold on. Okay. Oh, my God, we're going backwards. Ho, ho. Okay, well, obviously it's a game worth listening to. Going to be full of action and excitement and whatever, okay? And, you know, hey, I have interest in games now that I don't drink, you know? I just who knows? But I do want God to help me out tomorrow to face the people on a daily basis of the ones that I have a challenge talking to. It's the ones that have unrealistic expectations, and I don't know how to reel them in and still provide them the kind of service that they need from me, you know, without, you know, indulging their expectations. And, you know, I can only do what's, you know, what's real. You know, it's selling houses. People only going to pay the price they come to realize is a fair market value for it. And if they don't, then nobody's going to sell them the house, and nobody's going to, you know. So it's not like people come along and force anybody. There was a time where people paid way too much for houses. That's not there anymore. Okay, the reality is that people pay a fair price for a house, but they need the handholding that we provide as real estate brokers. So it is what it is. It is what it is. So I'm grateful for having this job because it's really a wonderful job, I got to admit. It's an incredible job. The people that I meet, just cool, wonderful, I got to admit. It's a great, great job that I have here. I just sometimes, like I said, tomorrow's going to be a little bit challenging because I don't know what the outcome is going to be of this meeting with my clients. And I pray that I handle it in a responsible way because I have a feeling I'm going to be disappointed by their response and actions. But, you know, again, what doesn't kill me always makes me stronger and better. And I have to look at what my role in each and every one of these opportunities are, see? And, gosh, I got to admit, some days I think, man, do I have to take more and more on and on and on and on, or what? And so let's do this. In the last few moments, I want to say thank you, everyone, for listening. If you're going to drink, don't drive. Zero tolerance. Okay, let's start. And again, what was the date? Okay, the great smokeout this year is going to be, let's see, we marked it down on a couple of shows earlier. Let's see. We never did find out why Ron called. Okay, November 20th is coming up. That's the great smokeout with the American Cancer Society. And that's what I'm going to encourage each and every one of you. Whatever your addiction, whether you're a gambler, sex addict, food addict, drinker, drug addict, heroin, cocaine, crack cocaine, whatever your addiction, chaos, lying, gambling, did we say gambling? We said food, anorexia, bulimia, any of them. Any of these addictions that you have. Maybe you're a hoarder. Maybe you're a food hoarder. I don't know. Whatever keeps you isolated from the rest of the world, we want you to get beyond it. So November 20th, join us as we encourage everyone to work a program. Try it out. Maybe you'll find that abstinence, quitting, maybe you can do it then because you're not going to be the only one. There are going to be a whole world of people that are not going to be drinking or drugging anymore. Actually, you'll be one of many people that, the great smokeout is to get people to stop smoking cigarettes. And maybe it'll be enough to encourage you or your family members or somebody to not drink or drug or do your addiction again that time. And who knows, you might just enjoy it. And all you got to do it is for one day. You don't have to do it for life, guys, okay? This doesn't have to be a life thing. Try it for one day. And if it works for you one day, maybe you'll want to try it 2 days. It's not a trickster thing. We do really want you to stop, but if you can't stop or if it's not something you're ready, okay, you just got to put your heart and soul into it, okay? And really give it some thought of whether or not you want to do this. So we're coming up in the last minute of our show, folks. Again, I want to thank everybody for listening, whoever listened. For those of you that contributed, maybe you're going to send me an email or a text. I didn't get anything yet today. It would have been great. Somebody would have called in, but that's okay. Today, nobody really feels like talking, and that's okay. We'll just live with the fact that nobody wanted to say much today. But we're glad that we had the opportunity. Maybe you'll listen to this on a playback. Maybe it'll have some impact later down the road. Who knows? November 20th, the great smokeout. I want to say hello to my friend Laura down in the Alabama Mammy. Congratulations. I think she's going like 5 or 6 months or 7 months on her abstinence from meth. You know, I want to say shout out to my friend Anna in New York. Hope she's doing well. She's been calling. I know she's been using the phone to because she needs help, you know, from her thoughts and things. We all need help, guys. It's a week. So give of each other, share with each other, and we'll catch you next week. We're out of here on the Road to Recovery next Sunday night, 7 p.m. Good night.